from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And the 2-2. Driven in the air, right field, back goes Frelick. Still going, that ball is gone! A line drive home run. Ian Happ, a sizzling liner. It landed in the first row and jumped back out onto the field, but it clearly was gone beyond the basket, and the Cubs lead 3-0. What a rocket.
Our job in the clubhouse right now is to make it tough on Jed. You know, it's going out and playing good baseball and putting ourselves in a position where we can get back in this thing. I think the nice part about wild card situation is it's all bunched up right now, and you know, we got plenty of baseball left. Just got to keep playing the way we are.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You heard Ian Happ there with the home run. And then Ian Happ on the post game talking about what Jed had to say. The Cubs can make some noise, and they can make Jed make a decision that maybe he doesn't believe he has to make at this point. It is very interesting to me that you're waiting to see what happens still, even as we are approaching the trade deadline at a fiery pace.
Was that why he spoke yesterday? Do you think that's part of the impetus to get him to motivate this team by declaring them not buyers at the deadline, by telling everybody who will listen that they're only concerned about making a move that improves their chances to win in 2025, and you have a clubhouse full of players that you are paying $230 million to put on the field and saying, what about 2024?
I think it's the start of a big series. It's nice of him to talk. I don't know if that's what he's trying to do, and if that helps, then great. But I think I take him at the sincerity of the point. I don't know that you're not going to feel that way if you're the Cubs president and your team is in the situation it's in. Do you doubt that that's how he feels? I mean, he didn't announce that sale is on. We're getting rid of it. He just basically said they're not interested.
I don't doubt that's how he feels. Yeah. I think he's sincere. I also think that there's nothing wrong with what he said.
No.
The logic and rationale is exactly
rentals.
Right.
Yes.
But I do think that I was mildly surprised at it. This declaration coming a week before the trade deadline. Typically, we have said traditionally, the 72-hour rule. Once you get into that final 72 hours, that's when things actually begin to happen. And you have a better sense of what your team is in a very bundled up, jumbled up wild card race. They're 3.5 games back. That is not, it seems unrealistic that they'll be able to close the gap, but it's not insurmountable.
Well, we are a week away. Mm-hmm. So this is the final week before you really have to make a decision on anything. I mean, you better know, as you said, with about 72 hours to go, what you're going to do. But you still got a few days. And, oh, by the way, you're playing the number one team in your division.
Yeah.
And you won game one. Do it again tonight, and then we can have a conversation tomorrow.
Ian Happ is right. Ian Happ is right. Make it hard for him to not do anything. Or I think at this stage, I see them logically not being aggressive and going out to get a rental because you don't want to give up a prospect for something in this season that you already maybe have you know, accepted what you are and what you're not. Here's what I think players also want to see them avoid, the Cubs, not unloading, not getting rid of Jameson Taillon, not getting rid of Mark Leiter Jr., not dealing Neris, because that would be, we talked about the concession speech and the waving the white flag. Right. That would be a more obvious concession.
Is that the opposite side of the same coin? If you come out and you say, well, we're not going to be renting any players, well, we'll see, unless there's a big winning streak, are you also saying, well, you get on a nice losing streak and who knows what we're doing?
Well, it is the opposite side of the same coin. It is totally implied.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been a stronger message because guys like Hector Neris want to stay, perhaps. I don't think he probably wants to leave Wrigley Field before he finishes a full season as a Cub, but yet he's a guy that would be on the block if they go into selling mode.
Are we monitoring how he's doing with his contract and whether he can...
I'm not.
Remember we talked about that before? Because he seems like he got another save yesterday. It seems like they're adding up a little bit.
14?
Not that I care.
He's like 8-2 with 14 saves. How many blown saves?
But it's appearances, really.
The other thing I talked about, the jumbled mess that is the National League wild card race, and yes. I think you said similar but not the same dynamic in the American League. Point being, there's a lot of teams that feel like they have a chance. And I think when that happens, Jed addressed the fact that when you have a bunch of teams that think they can be wild card competitors, it means that there will be fewer sellers.
I can't tell on the market yet. I think I can answer that on the 31st or the night of the 30th when we know how things play out. But yeah, it's definitely, if you look at baseball in general, right, you have a lot of teams, clumped towards the middle, very, very few, way out in front, and maybe very few in back. And I think that's probably a good thing for the sport, but how it plays out during the deadline, we'll see. By definition, it would tell you there'd probably be fewer sellers and, potentially more teams trying to, not doing it. Maybe the traditional rental sale type thing, but maybe there are more baseball type trades that have to be made in a world where there's just fewer clear sellers.
Fantastic news.
Right.
That's great news for the Chicago White Sox.
Not so much for the Cubs, but for the White Sox, yes.
No, but for the White Sox, if there are fewer sellers, and they're one of the teams that wants to sell anything they can have.
Why wouldn't you start now?
Yeah.
Why? You don't want to get to the point where you have so much to do on your to-do list that it's the last weekend and you're running out of time.
Now you sound like me.
I know.
I keep wondering, it's now a week away. At what point? If you want to make, let's just say, for the sake of argument, and I know your over-under is 4, let's say you want to trade 7 people.
Okay.
And you don't want to do 3 for 1.
It's not hard to get to 7.
Well, don't you have to get there fairly soon, though? Aren't you going to run out of time? Unless you're trading 3 guys to the Dodgers or whatever it might be.
Right? Your best trade pieces would be going to the Dodgers, perhaps.
Right.
I think that when you look at Tommy Pham, Eric Fetty, Paul DeJong, Luis Robert Jr., Michael Kopech, Garrett Crochet, that's 6. You could easily find a 7th.
Sure.
If you're talking about 7 guys going. Anyone want a Benintendi as a throw-in?
Yeah, I mean.
I think Paul DeJong last night hits a big home run. You think that's going to stand up as the game-winning homer in the top of the 9th. Sox blow it in Sox fashion in the bottom of the 9th.
The Sox can't win a game. How long is the losing streak? Is it 8 games now?
8 games, yeah.
It feels like it's closer to like 42.
Only because the All-Star break extended the pain and misery.
Yeah.
And, you still watch.
Let's try our buddy John. John is in Joliet. Hey, John, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Molly. Good morning, Hall. I've always wanted to say 670 to score is a sports fan's confessional. You come, you release the tension, you confess some things, and then you can start fresh. But, watching Chicago White Sox baseball is like sitting in a reclining chair made of cactus. It is so painful to watch these guys and to realize, and I just told Dustin, this White Sox team could possibly only win 39 games this year. And I've never, for the life of me, since 1962, have followed this team and have never seen it as bad as it is. Please, can we just... I don't even know where this team's going to start.
John, they've won 27, right? Yeah. So you're saying they could win 12 more the rest of the year?
They're 27 and 75. If they go 54 and 6, they'll finish 500.
Look at you. Look at you. Poor John calls up with a confessional. That's two Hail Marys and an Our Father, John.
What do you want me to say? Well, they're going to lose 120 games, Molly.
Console the man.
They're going to lose 120 games.
Be his father whispering in the boot with him. Don't dare make that kind of remark.
40 and 122 is likely the way they're going to go.
Listen, let me tell you
39
something.
39 and 123.
Let me tell you something. He's absolutely right. They don't show a hint of knowing how to win. Not only that, when you lose a game like you lost last night, those build up, those create ill will. We're sitting here and we're saying, hey, if there are no real sellers, then the White Sox should get more because they're one of the few teams that are selling. The minute they get that trade done, what's left? What are they going to look like? Not that they're any good, but I mean, could they get worse? Could they get worse?
Yes.
If you get rid of all of your talent, you're going
to
get worse.
To be worse. But baseball, with variance and other things, they would still have, you know, the chance to win 20% of their games moving forward, 2 out of every 10. So if you have, you know, 60 games left, I mean, the math is not going to be in their favor. They're likely to break a record for, you know, being the worst team in Major League history.
They're so,
so that's what you're looking at in the final 50 games of the season, or 2 months or so, however long this lasts. It feels like longer.
Jim is in Beecher. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Tuesday. Molly, I think you're a little bit a step ahead of me here, which when I heard you say this, that, we're down to 1 week left, and pretty much nothing has happened so far on the trademark. I'm talking for the White Sox now.
Yeah.
And given that, I got a feeling that Chris Getz has been deluge with 50 cent on a dollar offers.
Right.
And it almost seems like, we are going to run out of time. And then it wouldn't surprise me on July 31 if Robert and Crochet and Petty are still with the team. I hope Chris Getz does not acquiesce and give in to a 50 cent on a dollar deal or two. Thanks, guys.
That's interesting.
He has no reason to.
Well, but I mean, he wants to change his team. How desperate is he? Like,
well, there's two different levels
of... There are only very few sellers, so therefore the price should be jacked up.
Yes.
But if it's the White Sox and you're looking at them, what you know, they need to get rid of people. They have
good individuals, though, that could help contenders. Yeah, they do.
We'll give you this guy.
But there's certain things there's two different categories here, though. There are categories like you go into any store. You can shop in different sections.
Okay.
And there could be the clearance rack, everything must go, and then there's the more...
Garrett Crochet and Luis
Robert Jr., you have to have the price exorbant because you still have the offseason if
so
you want to deal with them.
So you're not going to trade Robert Jr., that's what you're telling me.
I'm telling you.
I think you'll get it for Crochet. I'll tell you something else. You might get it for Fetty over getting it for Luis Robert.
I don't think so. Luis Robert Jr., if he's healthy, is much better than you're suggesting right there. I don't think that they're going to trade him necessarily because I don't think they're going to meet the price.
The preparational phrase? If he's healthy.
Well,
the whole point.
But that's okay. That's why I think they're going to be able to keep him and they won't want to trade him. They'll ask for too much and teams will be reluctant to trade him. But I don't think Eric Fetty is going to get you more than Luis Robert would.
Mm.
No.
Yes, he will.
No.
Right now?
No.
Eric Fetty is a starting pitcher for a team in a playoff race.
No way,
Molly.
You need
pitching more than anything else, Mr. David.
Mr. Molly.
And let me tell you something. Nobody holds Luis Robert Jr. in the kind of way they did when he was an all-star.
I agree with that. I think that because of the ambiguity surrounding his value, then let me put it that way, they'll likely hold on to him. I do think they're going to get an offer they can't refuse for Crochet. And a week from now, we're going to be talking about the Garrett Crochet era in Chicago. They're going to get rid of DeJong. Don't know what they're going to get for him.
See, that's the kind of guy that he's talking about. DeYoung, yeah, we'll give you like a, we'll give you, you know, a six pack of,
fine,
of Old Style.
You had nothing before.
That's the point.
He was so cheap and
Tommy
available.
Pham.
Same deal.
Yeah, we'll give you, a, you know, you can have a bottle of Muscatel.
David Robertson was traded for Ben Brown, and that used to be a good thing. Now Ben Brown's hurt, and you wonder why. But you, the point is, sometimes you don't know what you're getting, so take a chance on a prospect he might develop. Tommy Pham and Paul DeYoung found money for the Chris Getz. So those are the three guys in a seller's market you're going to get something for. Kopech could be a throw-in with Crochet. If it's the Dodgers, maybe they want him. And then you got Chris Flexen possibly on the market as well. I don't know who else they have to sell. I think everything is for sale, but I don't know what else anybody would want. You're not trading Drew Thorpe. You're not trading Jonathan Cannon. You're not getting rid of the young arms that you're going to build around. So it is going to be an active week for the White Sox, and it sounds like it's going to be a dormant week for the Cubs.
Yeah, and that's good, maybe.
If they keep winning.
Yeah.
If the Cubs keep winning, fine. I also think that they're smart in not unloading. Just don't become sellers. Even if you lose a series to the Brewers, I don't want the Cubs to do anything that would jeopardize their ability to contend in 2025 or go into the offseason where they have more holes to fill at the major league level than is realistic. Because intelligent spending is going to be something we're going to hear again this offseason, and I just don't know if it was that intelligent to pass up on every designated hitter available last offseason.
Intelligent spending.
Thanks, Jed.
See, thanks. Like, I'm laughing to myself because as you describe like what the Cubs got for some of these guys, and then you're like, the Sox can get better than that. Like, the Sox, what's going to happen, this is the sad reality, is the White Sox are going to trade someone hoping for a lottery ticket, and they're going to have to throw in whatever the equivalent of is Fernando Tatis Jr. And then, then they'll have some horrible.
Maybe they get Tatis Jr. in return for one of these guys.
Well, I mean,
maybe that's the equivalent. The Tommy Pham trade.
This is what I'm saying is like the Cubs would get something spectacular, and you know.
Well, let me say something about the Cubs.
But the White Sox are going to end
the Cubs
up
prospects.
Having to throw in something that turns out to be like a lot better.
We speak in glowing terms about the Cubs prospects and the Cubs organization, and I think it's appropriate. And
they got 8 players in the top 100.
Well, okay, see, you're right, and I think that the health of the organization is what Jed described it yesterday, and I've even said, you know, and somebody parroted this back to me yesterday when I was talking about the Cubs. You said they were not a great team, but this was a great organization. Yes, I did. And I believe that. But I'm really tired. I'm growing weary of waiting for these prospects.
Yeah.
Where are these guys? I thought that Owen Casey would be in Chicago around now. I thought that Matt Shaw might be getting a cameo about now. What is happening to these guys who we thought, you know, Alex Canario is here and he's back and he's back.
They're all on the way. They're on the way. They're going to get here and be
great. He could get from here to Des Moines without needing MapQuest. He knows the way by heart. So he's been back and forth so many times. I just don't know, when are these guys going to start to arrive and produce and remove the doubt?
These are such rich man
problems.
Well,
you have to give them an at bat first. Right, you know. Alexander Canario came up here, and did he have 3 at bats?
That's what I said earlier.
I mean, 3, maybe.
Why have him here if you're not going
to exactly
play?
Let him continue to work on his craft?
But these are rich man problems.
I don't know.
Why haven't they won the Cy Young yet? This is what you're basically saying.
I'm basically saying, I want to see someone produce. What?
They're a guy holding scratch offs who hasn't taken out the quarter in his pocket to scratch off to see if they're worth anything.
That's a good way to look at it. Molly, you're being unfair to me here.
I am.
I'm saying that.
You have no idea what it's like being a Sox fan. I'm telling you that the Sox are going to make a deal where they have to throw in like a future Hall of Famer, and that it's going to go horribly wrong. I know that from experience. As opposed to what the Cubs have done, which is they got 8 guys
big
in the
deal.
top 100.
And you're saying the 8 guys in the top 100, and I'm saying, okay, when is PCA going to be a major league hitter? Whatever happened to Miguel Amaya and the hope that that was
I'll take
represented.
PCA. You want to give
Wisniewski
PCA up in
hurt.
A deal? I'd take him.
Cade Horton can't walk without pain. I don't know what happened to Jordan Wicks. Oh, by the way, what about Ben Brown? Yeah, he's out. When's he coming back?
Next year.
Well, so, it sounds increasingly like it's next year. It was interesting to hear what was said about him yesterday. The timetable is there's no timetable, right? It's interesting.
It is interesting. It's depressing.
PCA is a 4A player right now, okay? He's 4A. There's meaning there's nowhere for him to play. He can't hit major league hitting, and he'll go back to Triple A, and he'll be a dominant player down there. There's nowhere for him to go.
It's only 2024.
What does that mean?
It means Dustin's prediction that he'd be the top guy in town. He's still got a couple of years.
Everybody has moments like that. We got a little carried away with PCA. We have. Listen, I'm still waiting for Matt Mervis to arrive. I got crazy about Caleb Killian. I just think I'm waiting for a prospect to actually live up to the hype.
That's fair.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Owen Casey will.
So I see Moises Ballesteros homered again for Iowa, I think it was.
Oh, and I'm he's going to be.
Oh, sure he will.
Give him a couple more years.
Tell.
No, he's really. I mean, he's got a bat. He does have a bat. He's in the top 100.
Big deal.
No, he's in the top 100.
He's not anywhere close.
He's.
I'm going to go that route. I'm going half empty route until I'm proven different. These guys aren't living up to the hype.
These are such rich.
I built up PCA. I bought into Dustin's hype, and now what I get for it? He's hitting like 210. Is he?
Well, my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
Wow.
You got a few years. You're okay.
Dustin, do you think he's going to be, can he be an everyday center fielder based on what you have seen in this half season?
By 2028?
Just in general.
It's very hard to defend right now. It's hard to defend the guy. Like last night, as an example, the Cubs won the game. Had the Cubs lost the game, had a run ended up scoring on the ball that he just barely missed. But like he can't just barely miss that catch. That's why he's here, because he can do those types of things. Otherwise, listen, you could have Mike Tauchman in center field.
He
can stay in front of the ball and limit that to a single instead of diving for it.
I know. I mean, I fell for Brennan Davis.
Brennan Davis was good for a while.
For a while. There's always, he was good for a while, but.
He got some nerve damage in his back or whatever that was.
PCA's hitting 186.
Was it circulatory damage? It was weird. It wasn't a back issue. It was more like an arterial issue in his back, I believe.
I'm falling for the hype. I'm falling for the metrics. I'm falling for the rankings. I need to go back to falling in love with the story. Caleb Killian. I won't refer to him as a phenom as I did in the 5 o'clock hour. I was scolded for that as well with an exclamation point. Don't call him a phenom. Okay. Wisniewski there, or Wisnasty.
Yes.
Schwindy inside. Breakout player. I did have Jordan Wicks. He's their third starter right now out of necessity.
Yeah.
He eventually will ascend to be a guy that you trust in that rotation. Jordan Wicks is going to have a very good year. Ben Brown, man, I like that kid. The tale of Hunter Biggie is one that I can get behind.
Oh, come on. That's just being mean.
That's piling on.
All right. We got to take a break. 312-644-6767. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Two words, Mesh Mervis.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
James, late in the clock. LeBron James bodying. Inside, he scores!
He's a man. Goodness, does he take over? You have a right to do that.
The Kings flex. Time ticking away. And Schroeder.
Yeah, force him to a jump.
And Boitman will score it. It's a four-point game, and that'll do it. And a 5-0 run in the showcase for the United States. Another tough test from an excellent German squad, where they come out with a 92-88 victory.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We all ended up watching way too much of that game, the U.S. with their last game before the gold medal. And for the second game in a row, LeBron James has to bail them out late and win the game late because the U.S. played a terrible game. I mean, I'm sorry, top to bottom, they beat Germany 92-88 after beating the South Sudan by a point.
Really disappointing.
Holy
really
God.
Disappointing effort. They have not really flipped that switch yet. They seem bored.
Yeah,
they just
do.
Seem bored, and or not ready mentally to take on the kind of challenge they're going to get from every team that plays them. Every team that plays them is going to be at their best because they feel like they're playing the best. And so as a result, the last two games, both games in London, have been clunkers.
Clunkers.
Really bad. LeBron bailed him out yesterday, saved the day. He's unstoppable when he starts to drive to the basket in those terms. And he had a tremendous finish. He had a tremendous start with a couple slams. But what's lacking is chemistry. What's lacking is motivation. What's lacking is a lot of things that make teams good teams. This is an all-star team. This isn't a basketball team yet.
I got to tell you, their perimeter defense was god-awful. I don't know how many threes Germany made in that game, but they made a lot of wide-open threes. In the second half of that game, in the fourth quarter of that game, they missed some wide-open threes. Like, for whatever reason, U.S. players were not shutting down the shooters, and there were several times where the German player was left open by about 5 feet and failed to knock down a three. Those should be automatic.
Yep.
Because that three-point line is not it's the international line. It's not the NBA line. So it's a shorter jump shot. But I'm sitting there watching this like, holy cow, this game's coming down to the wire. And you won't even you can't even bring yourself to go outside and throw a hand in a guy's face.
It's effort.
It's effort.
It's commitment.
100%. And you know, Steve Kerr is a great coach. Their coaching staff is fantastic. It's all these NBA guys. It's all they got a great group. And we know the players are all stars. Just ho hum. And you can sit here and say, yeah, there's not going to be any surprises. They're gonna. Once the medal round starts, they'll be fine. I gotta tell you, like I wonder, they are so unmotivated. And you're absolutely right; every team is going to give their absolute best, but there's nothing there. There's no real. They're okay. They're playing these exhibition games. Who cares? Well, when the games start, we'll care. Well, when the medal round starts, we'll care. That's how you set yourself up for failure.
Yes, it is. And I wonder what sense of urgency Steve Kerr feels because he's somewhat helpless here. He is the coach.
Yep.
He can't control things with playing time and rotations and such. But he's also trying to appeal to a bunch of mega millionaires, guys who have already arrived and have NBA legacies, the importance of closing out on shooters, the importance of getting to every loose ball, the importance of offensive rebounding and keeping team guys off the glass, the little things that grinders do. But these aren't grinders. These are basically all-stars, Hall of Famers, guys who are MVPs. You think Joel Embiid is going to die for a loose ball? You think Anthony Davis wants to do the dirty work? I think in limited spurts, perhaps, But overall, they're not taking the court with the sense that they have something to prove because they've already proven so much.
Well, and let me tell you something. I mean, I don't care when anybody says, like, I was a beat writer covering Michael Jordan on the Bulls. And I'm just telling you that Jordan was so competitive. He would never be in that situation. He would not be in that situation. He would make people play harder. He would be playing his arse off both offensively and defensively. It's just, and I don't care how, well, LeBron's 30. I don't care how old a person is or whatever. I'm talking about just the competitive nature of an athlete.
Well, I
know people don't want to hear this, but I mean, the Dream Team, if you were losing to South Sudan, Charles Barkley would like hit two of those guys, throw an elbow. Jordan would never have been in that situation.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think the Michael Jordan comment is definitely one that it's going to resonate in Chicago and be very popular here. I don't think, though, that yesterday was an example, even though there was one play where LeBron made a business decision. I think we do have to give credit to him for carrying that team down the stretch.
Twice he came to the rescue.
And it was his sheer will. The kinds of things that you say about Michael Jordan applied to LeBron James yesterday in the fourth quarter. He was not going to let that team lose.
And that's great, and I honestly appreciate it. Let me ask something. So we haven't seen Kevin Durant. He's been injured, and he's not playing. Now he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Kevin Durant. I believe he's the highest scorer in U.S. Olympic history.
Yep.
So he's made a joke out of scoring. He can score from anywhere. Does that give you more chemistry? Does that give you more exactly what?
Who would you rather add? We should ask this pick six tomorrow. Who would you rather add, Kevin Durant or Alex Caruso to this?
I mean, we're all referencing Caruso. The thing is,
but that's the thing they need.
They need floor burns.
They need floor burns.
They need an actual team. They don't need stars.
Well, I thought that was the point of who they put on the roster from Boston.
Derek White.
Yeah,
right.
He played okay. Yeah, he was fine. He's more of a team player.
Jaylen Brown would look pretty good, though. He's a grinder. He's not afraid to do the dirty work.
I would like to see him on that team.
I think that's where Drew Holiday's strength is. He can play defense. He's also the guy that sets a tone.
In the second half, though, it appeared to me, I watched every minute, there was no rotation, not rotation on the court. Like, those guys played the whole time. Like, they never went to the bench. I found that weird. Like, bring in a new group to, like, get some energy going.
Use waves.
I'm going to say this, too. I think Steve Kerr, even though I feel like he's a great coach, I like managing personalities, kind of that Phil Jackson. The X's and O's with him, I don't really like the rotations, stuff he said. Something about him I just don't really trust on the coaching aspect.
Do you agree with this idea that was such a dead arse defensive performance, it was hard to just watch the bloody game as a result of it? How do you not shut down on a shooter? How do you constantly let guys go?
It's a habit.
You can have that.
They don't play that way. That's not what they are paid millions to do, to close out on shooters.
Oh,
whereas guys like Alex Caruso survive in a league by doing that every possession and never taking a possession off. That's why Alex Caruso's on the all defensive team and that's why he's in the league, and he came from where he came from.
And why his name was mentioned. He was in consideration out of all the Bulls. He was the only name that I remember seeing on there.
Am I wrong to think that Bronny would be a better defensive option than some of these guys?
Yes.
Just because he might try.
I'm answering that rhetorical question.
Okay.
Thank you. You are wrong.
And I'm kind of making a joke, but I'm just saying this is absolute garbage.
That's a bridge too far.
Okay.
That's just a little bit.
Dan's in Aurora. Hey, Dan.
Guys, how's it going?
Good.
They need Bronny.
So I was hearing you guys, and this is total repeat of the Redeem Team era. You know, I don't know if you saw the documentary on Netflix, but it was the team in the Olympics that came back after they lost. They got the bronze to Greece or whatever. Kobe stepped up and showed them how to be a team and called those guys out and said, I don't care how good you are on your team. This is a team. You need to do your role. And someone needs to do that now. It should be LeBron. I don't know if he's doing it, but like you guys said, until they could accept lesser roles and a part of the puzzle, they're not going to win gold.
Yeah, and they're going to win gold.
I think they'll win gold despite this. I think what they're playing for now is almost like a legacy.
But they're putting that in question. by just being so dead arse about the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it was interesting that Steve Kerr was asked post game about Kevin Durant. If he's not healthy enough, would they consider replacing him on the roster? That's Grant Hill's decision, I would believe. I don't think they're close to that possibility, but it was intriguing.
Well, then why did they replace Kawhi? If you had the general manager of the team come out and say he was doing fine.
Well, that's mysterious. I don't know much about that story.
Was
but
there a sneaker problem?
It could have been a shoe issue.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a shoe company problem. I don't know what they're lacking except for if they all decided to play at a playoff level intensity, this would not be a conversation. We would not be having this discussion.
Let's try Jeff. Jeff's downstate. Hey, Jeff.
How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm going to go back to the Cubs for a minute and let you elaborate on it. I just want to say one thing. When you hire Craig Counsell, you pretty much hired him to win and win now. You got all these, I would call them daytime heroes, you know, just they either hit the two-run homer or they whiff. They can't get runners over it. You know, when they're supposed to. Why do we have the minor leagues with good talent down there like a Ballesteros and we're still looking for catching help? Why don't you use some of them guys? We don't need a Wisdom who whiffs. We need some players today.
Okay. That's all I want to say. Thanks, man. Let me ask you a question, David. Is there any part of you, that hopes the Cubs fall out of this thing so you can just bring up the young guys and see what
no,
they can do?
Not a single ounce of
Dustin?
Me. Not at all.
Not yet.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm saying the way it's trending, if you're not going to be in competition.
Right. I mean, when we get to like the second week of August, if they're still 10, 11 out of first place and they're
just
five
out
of. Bring
them
up. One at a time. Give somebody a week off. But Patrick Wisdom's a great example. Why bother? Why is he sitting there?
He began the season averaging 25 home runs for the last three seasons. That's why he's here.
Began the season.
Then let him bat.
Then sit somebody down and let him bat to see if he can hit five home runs in a week.
Bob is in Hammond. Hey, Bob.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, just help me out with something here because with this Pete Crow Armstrong, I've been following the young man since, you know, he was down the minors where he just blistered the ball and does all the right things and everything. And he gets up here and he just can't seem to get it. I don't believe in men on base. He gets up there and it's just so disappointing, you know. And so what do you do with a guy like that? I mean, how long do you sit and wait? Or maybe I think Tucker should be playing center field all the time and maybe use Pete Crow Armstrong in late innings or a pinch runner. Obviously, the guy's at blazing speed. I don't know. What do you do with them?
Bob, it's a good question.
You're still in it. Yeah.
You're waiting for Cody Bellinger to return. When Cody Bellinger gets back, PCA's role may change.
Yeah.
But until he does, he's your best alternative because of his ability to create havoc with his speed and for him to save runs with his glove. You've got to trust him now, even though he's hitting below 200, 186. Thank you, Texter, for pointing that out. I exaggerated his batting average earlier. I said he was hitting 210.
Jeez.
And the Texter said 186.
You're wrong about 210. And I mean, how could 210 be hopeful?
It's a robust 210.
Hey, this afternoon, Parkinson Spiegel are going to be doing something they've never done before. They're broadcasting live on the field at Wrigley. How cool is that? Parkinson Spiegel, they're going to be doing their show on the field from 2 to 6, they'll be joined by Nico Horner and Craig Counsell and other special guests prior to the Cubs against the Brewers. Tune in today starting at 2 right here on The Score and the free Odyssey app.
And then later tonight, continue the series with the Cubs and the Brewers at Wrigley. Pregame coverage right here at 6:30. First pitch 7:05 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network and baseball coverage on The Score presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how much at t-mobile.com/switch.
Get one more tonight. Then you can worry about forcing the hand of management come trade deadline.
I hope it's a walk-off. And enthusiasm is everywhere. We come in tomorrow morning and Dustin is smiling.
I hope it's PCA.
PC AAA.
Ooh, I love it. can tow them into the port of fun. help. All right. We've got Dan and Lawrence.
Dan and Lawrence next.
Oh, my God. Molly and Hall on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.